The population this time around has been prepared, especially by the civic education programs that have been offered by various agencies, CBOs, civil society organizations, the UNDP, I mean, even the police force, I mean, even the National Electoral Commission, but especially the non-governmental agencies, NGOs, have put out a lot of programs educating the population about the importance of using their vote to register their preferences and also to register their displeasure with how things have been going. And I think this is showing itself as a bit of a surprise, both to the Electoral Commission, I suspect, and to the political parties themselves, because the political parties, they did their homework, I suppose, and the Electoral Commission maybe did their homework, but I think the important thing is that previously, if you remember the history of Tanzania, you know, with the single party and so on, the population was not usually prepared. The population was not made aware of their rights, of the possibility that they could be part of a process of either confirming the legitimacy to govern of those particular set of people we are governing or removing them from power. You know, previously this was not made clear to them. And clearly you can see this in the way the political parties and indeed also even the Electoral Commission is behaving now. They are realizing that the population is making demands on them. A bit of a departure from what used to be the case. In the past, it was either the political parties organizing or the Electoral Commission or the ruling, and when I say the political parties, mainly the ruling party.
Professor Lwaitama, do you think the education that has made the Tanzanians well informed about the electoral process will make the election competitive as compared to previous ones?
That is exactly what I was trying to say. That the electorate are likely, whatever the various technical, procedural sort of gaps, whatever technical, procedural, even policy sort of shortcomings, you can see clearly that the population is determined to assert itself, that is determined to make some stand, is determined to make the politicians of all parties aware that they are not going to continue to be the same sort of people that they are used to. But of course, that is also partly because there has been some kind of demographic shift, because there is quite a large number of people who are of 18 to about 25, 30 age, who had not had experience of voting before, and who are voting for the first time. Of course, the 2000 election had some of these, but the 2005 also had a little more of them. But now, 2010, there is a lot of people who, in the last, they have become 18 years in the last 5 to 10 years. And these are going to make a big difference. You can see it, you know. I mean, these are people who have gone to primary education thanks to programs of enrolling more and more people in primary education, and more recently, more and more people going to secondary education. So you have a large body of young voters who are going to vote for the first time, but who are very angry with all politicians, you know, not just merely the ruling party, I think. And that can also be shown by the fact that you will find, the populations pointing out to political leaders who are going around, campaigning for particular constituency parliamentarian candidates, being told that we will give you the presidential vote candidate your vote, but we will not vote for the candidate of your party who you are encouraging us to vote for. Now, that is increasingly becoming a phenomenon which is interesting, not just only for the ruling party, but also even for the one of the most popular candidates in the opposition, who is faced in various places, voters who are telling the candidate, we will vote for you, but not the candidate you are trying to tell us to vote for. You know?
The issue of controversy surrounding a vote, the opposition usually comes out after they lost, will say, well, the elections were rigged. How credible do you think this vote will be on the side of the Electoral Commission?
There are two things one can say about the Electoral Commission. Of course, technically, procedurally, policy-wise, this is an Electoral Commission which has been in place, not just this time, but previously. And it is appointed by the incumbent government leaders, who are the same all throughout. Of course, as you know, from Tanzania, they have been the same since independence. They are the same party, and they've been elected, they've been nominated and appointed without any other checks and balances. Parliament doesn't censure them. They are not subject to censure by anybody. So the outcome, of course, there is procedurally, you could say there is some doubt as regards to their being seen completely to be unable to be under the influence of the people who appointed them. But of course, at the end of the day, if the population is determined to express its desires, then they, the members of the Electoral Commission, can see that on the street. They can see that. They can. It is palpable. I think they will also be under that kind of pressure. That much as they may, there is those, that crowd, and a lot of them, I think most of the members of the Electoral Commission, are people with a lot of integrity. I mean, you know, the chair is an old retired judge, and, you know, he's a respected person. And a lot of the members, I think, you know, they individually have... there are people with whom you might not have any doubts about their integrity. Even the commissioner, who is in charge, a government official, is someone who has been doing this for a long time. And I think a lot of people might have confidence in him as a person. But, you know, what people are arguing is that, first of all, the Electoral Commission doesn't hasn't a presence yet all the way to the constituency district levels. They have to use government officials. They use district development directors who are government appointed. They are appointees of the ruling party and so on. You know, so the team that forms the Electoral Commission is a small one. It's a technical team. A lot of people have a lot of respect for them, but they have to use personnel at constituency levels who are government appointees. I think the commission has, on various occasions, expressed the desire that it may have its own personnel, but, it doesn't have the same person, doesn't have its own personnel all down the district level, constituency level. So the people who are going to be in charge of the actual process at grassroots level are not appointees of the commission itself. I mean, they are working for the commission, but they are government appointees. So there is that cloud. But all I'm saying is that once the population is aware of its right and it is expressing that clearly in the campaign process, one can see a lot of agitation on the part of the population and so on. That also in itself actually acts as a censure, as a kind of oversight, popular oversight, if you like, because any sensible electoral commission agent or official will be aware that the population this time is not like many other times in the past. They are quite aware, and if anything happens that may create doubt, that will not be very well received, and that might cause them some problem. And I'm sure as human beings they would want the election to go smoothly and for them to get the credit for it, I mean, so all I'm saying is that, in a nutshell, the population is a little bit more awake than before, and I think that in itself will be acting on the officials and making them a little bit less likely to agree to be used by the ruling party, if indeed the ruling party was planning or was wishing to do so.